Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
It's a great day. I know that many of you, if you're new to our church, maybe this is your first time, you may not know this, that every year our church, we start off our year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that so many of you have really leaned in. You've committed and said, Pastor, I'm going to go the distance and I'm gonna set myself apart from something. And we never ask, we never tell anybody what to fast or what their fast should look like. We just always ask to, I say, man, I just want you to give God your very best sacrifice, whatever that might look like. And I think for all of us, it's different based on where we are in our journey of faith. But I have encouraged our church to be sacrificial. And I've just been hearing so many reports. This is how I know that so many people are fasting, because people are telling me what they're craving right now. They're like, oh my gosh, right? And if you're fasting, you know the feeling. At this point in the journey, you know, we only have 6 days left, which is the good news, everybody. Yeah, thank God. Thank God we can go back to eating the things that we want to eat here in just a few days. But at this point in the journey, the flesh starts to kick up, doesn't it? You start to crave things you don't even like. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to somebody in our church yesterday and this morning, and they were like, they said, bro, I haven't had Taco Bell in like 10 years, and I'm going when this is over. I'm going to Taco Bell. I said, well, I'll come. Some of our leadership was talking about like where we should go eat next Sunday after church, and they said, man, we should go to Longhorn, or we should go to Golden Corral, or we should go to somewhere else. I don't remember. And I just said, yes, let's just do them all, every single one. It sounds perfect. But I do. I want to encourage you to lean in. I make jokes about it because it's real and because it's difficult. But I really want to encourage you, church, to just go the distance, as much pain as it causes your flesh, to push away the things that you really, really desire. There is a purpose, and it's not just for sacrifice sake. It's to say, God, I will intentionally place this to the side, and then I will focus this time that maybe I would be eating, or maybe I would be watching the TV or scrolling on Instagram or whatever that time is. I'm going to substitute that time with time in your presence. And so I will intentionally starve my flesh in order to feed my spirit. And it's a good, healthy thing to do for a season, because it starts to create some healthy habits. And that's exactly what we've been talking about all month long. We're in part number 3 of a series that we've been calling Uphill Habits. And what we've been saying is this, that we don't want to be a church that starts the year with resolution mindsets. Statistically, resolutions don't last very long. And if you're anything like me, you would agree, like, yeah, they just don't seem to stand up to the test of time, right? How many of you guys, just show of hands, how many of you guys have set resolutions you've already failed on keeping this year? Like, already, it's like, I tried it. Yeah, okay, there's some hands, right? And it happens. So what we're trying to do is just reverse the way we think. And instead of thinking in a resolution context, thinking more of a habit context. In other words, I'm going to start doing some things with some intentionality and some discipline, and I'm going to do them. They might be small things, but they're everyday things that we're going to do. Amen? So we're going to go in today to habit number 3. Grab your worship guides out if you have those. That's what you were given, by the way, when you walked in. And the sermon notes that I'll be using today are in there, and you can certainly take notes right along with us if you would like to. If you don't have a worship guide or don't have a pen, just wave, and our ushers will make sure that you get one of those. But I want to start out with where we've started every single Sunday. We've kind of the thesis, if you will. It's the big idea of the series. And by now, you're probably, if you've been around, you're probably starting to get it in memory. Like, yes, I know what he's about to say. But we've been saying this, that most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Like, I hope for more, I want more, but I've not positioned my life in a way to receive more. So I've been saying it like this, that hope is important, wouldn't you agree? I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about hope, but hope is more of a motivator, not as much a strategy. Does that make sense? Like I can't live on hope, but hope can certainly get me moving. What I've got to do, though, is create some habits in my life so that I can get myself in position to receive from God. I like to say it this way, that John the Baptist, the Bible says that he went out into the wilderness and he made this declaration. He would say this, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. And I think that there's a lot of ways that we can do that in our own lives. And I think some of the habits that we put into our hearts and into our lives will prepare the way for him to move in us. And when we position ourselves and prepare the way for him to come, then our hope can be fulfilled. Yeah, you tracking? So we've been starting here. This is kind of our theme verse. We've been starting here every week. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's out of the Message translation because I really appreciated the wording, but this has been the big idea and the big focus. You guys can see my screen okay over here? You guys good? Still see it over here? It's been the big idea. Fix your attention on God. And really that's the key, that I've got to get my attention just fixed and locked in, that man, my attention and my heart and my focus is going to be on the Father, because this is a relationship. It is not a religion. And when we get in a religion mindset, we find rules and regulations and then we, man, I can't live up and I'm not, and then all of a sudden we lose hope because we don't measure up to what religion says we should be. But when we find relationship and when we focus our attention on the Father, we in return find this relational God that actually wants to do life with us and walk life out. And what we find is this God of love and mercy and patience and understanding. In fact, the Bible tells us this is why Jesus suffered here on this earth and was tempted in every way that we are, so that he could understand it. Like, he gets it. So when our attention gets fixed on God, we encounter something that goes way, way deeper than a religion. We actually encounter the fact that God, this big being, this one true living God who created the heavens and the earth and makes the whole thing function, wants to know you personally. It's a beautiful thing. And quite frankly, you'll never succeed spiritually without that personal relationship with him. But it says when we do that, that you'll be changed from the inside out. It's really been our focus kind of the whole time, is that the habits, we want them to be inside changes so that we have outward results. And then it says to readily recognize what he wants from you and then quickly respond to it, right? Like, man, once you get in this relationship, he'll start leading you to things and then you'll actually have a desire to respond. Then it says, to respond to it, unlike the culture around you. How many of you guys know the world is really just not following the ways of, their attention is not fixed on God, right? Can I get somebody to agree? So they're saying, don't do that, because culture will tell you a lot of things. Culture will say that's not popular anymore, or you don't want to use those words, or you don't want to say that, or you know, you should be more accepting or whatever. But what you'll find in the relationship with God is that he's countercultural, because he's true and everlasting, and really love is correctional, encouraging, and you'll just find that in the relationship. So they're saying, like, don't change with the world. Stay true to who God is, because it's always going to drag you down to its level of immaturity. But God wants to bring, and I love this, he wants to bring the best out of you. It's in there, and he wants it to start in there, so that he can bring it out of you. And quite frankly, as a pastor, and really as a church, this is what I want for all of us. I want the best. I want what God's doing in us to start coming out of us more and more. And then the Bible says that as we chase his heart and fix our attention, that he'll just develop this well-formed maturity on the inside of us, that we can walk in this sense of comfort and confidence in who God is, in the fact that he's not some big God that's upset or angry or I hope I don't, you know, displeased, but rather he's a God who has this compassionate, adoring, loving heart for me, which is hard even to comprehend. Wouldn't you agree? Like, how can a God love me? Have you ever asked that question? But the fact is that he really truly does. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. Amen. So I want to do some quick review, not in your notes, but I want to review where we've been throughout the month. And week number one, every week I've been giving you a new habit. So I'll give you four all month. But in week number one, our first habit was this, to focus on what we do first. And we just talked about the fact that first things matter. And we wanted to start our day with God and our week with God, our month, our year with God. And we talked about all the things of how we do that. And if you missed it, all of our messages are archived on our website in an audio version. You could go back and listen to those. And then in habit number two, this was a big one. We talked about controlling our thoughts. Everything in our life begins with a thought. And the fact that really spiritual warfare happens in our thoughts, and we need to get our minds and our lives aligned with the truth of God's word. And if I can start thinking God's word and align myself with the word of God, then I can start seeing the hope fulfilled. I can start seeing life come. I can live and walk in the fullness of all that God has called me to. Amen. So focus on what I do first, and then focus on controlling my thoughts. And today, I want to give you habit number three. Write this down with me if you're a note taker. But habit number three is this. I want to encourage you to keep your life aligned with your purpose. Keep it in alignment with the purpose, your purpose. And I've found after several years now of being a pastor, I have found that this word purpose is really daunting to a lot of people because they say, oh gosh, that's the desire of my life is to figure out what my purpose is. And quite frankly, it's also the desire of mine. Like I wanna help you discover that. And I have some strong opinions about purpose. And this is what I believe. I believe that every single one of us have a purpose. I believe that every single one of us, you ready for this? Have the exact same purpose. It's exactly the same. I believe that our purpose as Christians, if you're a Christ follower in this room, your purpose is to advance the gospel to a lost world. Like there's a lot of people that don't know that God actually loves them and wants to know them intimately. There's a lot of people that don't know that Jesus Christ is the only way they can access that relationship. There's a lot of people that don't understand the framework in which God wants to function so that you can walk out the design that he has for your life. And I just think it's all of our purposes to help people discover that and to find out that like Jesus is the answer and he is the access to the relationship that you long for and so desperately need in your spirit. Can I hear a good amen, somebody? So I think our purpose is equal and it's all the same. I think the way we go about that purpose is where it gets a little bit different. And I call that your calling. So like when Jesus gave the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, and when he said, go and preach the good news to everybody everywhere, what I love about that statement is that he told us what to do. He just didn't tell us how to do it. You notice that? Like we'll go make disciples. We'll go preach the gospel. But he didn't say how. So some of us, God wired us to pastor churches. And some of us, God wired us to plant churches. And some of us, God wired us to be business leaders. And some of us, God wired us to be stay-at-home mothers and serve the house. And some of us, God wired to do whatever it is, but there's a different call and there's a different gift on your life. And here's what I wanna say to you, they are all just as important as the other. So in our culture today in America, we like to like rank them to where one's super important and one doesn't matter. That's not even biblical. Because the Bible says that every believer with their gift works like a body, and one can't say to the other, well, I don't need you, because that's just simply not true. So what I want to talk to you today really is just finding the alignment with purpose. I want to help you. I want to start there because I personally think you'll never discover the call of God until you align yourself with the purpose of God. All right, and this is where I want to go with you today. So write this down. I want to give you a couple of thoughts in order for me to stay in alignment with my purpose. The first thing that I've got to understand is this: it's because I have a purpose. And I think for some of you in this room, that might be news to you. Like, really? I do? And I just want to say, absolutely, yes, you do. Like, you're the ones that I was just referring to. Like, I want you to do me a favor, if you can, I want you to do me a favor, and I just want you to take off the preconceived notions. And I said this right out of the gate from the beginning of this series. This one thing I don't like about being a pastor is sometimes people like put me in this place, like, ooh. And I honestly don't like that because it's not true. If you followed me around for a while, you'd find out like I'm a real human being. I actually have bills that show up in my mailbox. It is crazy, I know. And I actually have kids that don't always do what I say. And there are times when I'm in traffic, I don't always act like a pastor. I'm just being real with you. And so what I wanna say is that when I am preaching to you, I'm also preaching to me. And what I want you to recognize is this, that God does not think I'm better than anybody else. It's just that I wanna fulfill the purpose of my life and the call that he gave me happens to be a pastor, but you also have a purpose and it's just as important. So what I want you to do is like take off those rankings, like do away with that. And I wanna help you discover the fact that God has a purpose for your life too. And it matters just as much. It matters just as much. Look at what God's word says right here. I don't remember my references coming. So if we've been having some tech issues with this, by the way. So if this thing fails, we're gonna default to the big screen, so be flexible with me. But Psalm 139, 16, I love this verse. The Bible says that all of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. Like before you were even born, before you even got here, God already had a plan for your life. He had a purpose for you. In other words, when God designed you, he said, I'm gonna design this person intentionally with purpose. We like to say it around here like this, that I believe every single one of us was created by God on purpose with purpose. So he did it. So it's not like you were born and he's like, oh man, let's see, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do with that guy? I'm like, that's not, God never had that thought because the days of your life were, he already had a plan. And here's what I want to say to you, because some of you are thinking right now, yeah, but I've already messed it up so bad. Here's the beautiful part about God. You ready? No matter what chapters of your story you've added, the last chapter that he wrote for you can still be the same, because he's a God of grace. He's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. And if you're like me, that's important. Amen, somebody. Because if I've only got two, I already blew it. Like, I'm done. Thank God he's the God of just another one. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Amen. Amen. Check out what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says. It says that we are God's, I love this verse so much, we're his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, notice, to do something. Like, to do some good works, right? Which God prepared, I want you to notice when, in advance for us to do. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you, and he wants you to fulfill that purpose. Write down the second idea with me, or let me say this. This is why I have notes, because sometimes I forget things. This is not in your notes, but you might want to write it down. I want to encourage you to live by design, not by default. And I've talked about this before. In fact, can I read you something real fast? Let me get to something for you real quick. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 112. I want to read this verse to you. Off my hip here. So check it out. This is King David, and he's writing in Psalm 119, and he says, "This is I'm going to read verse 112 through 114. He says, my heart, note, I want you to notice the language that he uses. My heart is set. My heart is set. Remember, we were reading out of Romans, fix your attention on God. And he says, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. And he said, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And then he goes on to say that you are my refuge and my shield, and I have put my hope in your word. And I just feel like this scripture reinforces everything that we're talking about all month long, because what he describes here, what King David describes is that he says, I'm going to live by design. Like, I've set my heart. I will not live according to the default, because the default is double-minded. And the Bible tells us in the book of James that when we're double-minded, we're unstable in everything we do. We have no balance, no grab. We just waver around. We don't recognize ourselves. We get out of sorts. We kind of lose our identity. But God's given us an identity, a certain design, and he wants us to walk according to it. And it is in alignment with his purpose. It's in alignment with his purpose. Amen. So point number two, write this down with me. Just kind of an idea to help us get to our application for the day. I want you to understand this, that I need to keep my life in alignment with my purpose because, and I think this is a big deal, because there's competition for my time and attention. Like, things are pulling at you all the time, aren't they? Constantly. Things just pulling at your attention, pulling at your time, drawing you here, drawing you there. And if you're like me, too oftentimes you find yourself not living with purpose, but just living in response. Like, man, I'm just responding to everything, responding to my kids' schedules and responding to the demands at work and responding to the emergencies that show up in my life. And we sort of live in this mode where things are constantly, man, they're just pulling at us all the time. Because I just want to tell you that if you don't understand that God has a purpose and a plan for you, I want you to know that the world also does, and you'll just fall right into it. How many of you guys know that credit card companies have a purpose for your life? Come on now. They want to know what's in your wallet. Did you know that? They say it every time you watch the commercial. But there's competition, man. There are things pulling at our time, pulling at our attention. So what I've got to do is I've got to understand that, and I've got to recognize that, man, there's a competition going on. And if I'm going to keep my attention fixed on God, if I'm going to keep my life aligned with the purpose, then I've got to make sure I understand the conflict that I'm in. And I'm competing. The reason you can't wait for 3:30 to get here today is because there's going to be a great competition. People love competition. But too oftentimes in our spiritual lives, we just live by default and we don't stay in alignment. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. Let's look what God's word says about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6. Check this out. It's better to have one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Because this is the problem that I think pulls at so many of us, is we've bought into the lie that says more is better. Right? Help me out if you would. If $1 is good, $2 are Good, good. You can help me. You can help me, right? All right. Hey, we're day 15 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. If one Krispy Kreme is good, two Krispy Kremes are, they are better, right? Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now, go like I'll just take six. Turn the light on. Give me a half dozen. I'll be set, right? If one child is good, two children are, you are going there. you're like, I ain't falling for that one, Pastor. If one wife is good, two wives are wrong, everybody. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. We've got to find the contentment of God's purpose. God, what's your plan for my life? God, what is it that you have for me? Understanding there's just a competition pulling at it all the time, and I need to just find this tranquility with what he wants for me, because an overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. And man, I don't know about you, but there are times where I recognize when my spiritual condition, my mind, my will, my emotions are underwhelmed because I've got an overwhelmed schedule. I recognize at times that I have just allowed the competition to swing the other way and I'm losing this thing because my spiritual condition is suffering because of the demands that are on me. Amen. Write this last one with me. It's gonna put it, I think, into some perspective for you, but I want you to write this, that I need to keep my life aligned with my purpose because time is short. And I know that's not super encouraging, like, welcome to church. Time is short. Come back to Church on the Rock next week, right? But I think in a certain perspective, it's important for us to understand that we don't have a lot of time here. And I think the time that God's given us here, we should purpose to make the most of. And if I want to make the most of it, I need to do it in alignment with what he's called me to do. Not with what I think I need or I hope for, or right? Does that make sense? Let's look at the book of James. I love this scripture, and I think that it helps kind of set us up for the idea here. The Bible says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that a city, we'll spend a year there. I just want you to notice like sort of there's not a lot of intentionality in that statement. Just, well, you know, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we'll go here, maybe we'll go there. There's not a lot of focus in that statement. I will spend a year there, carry on some business, make a little money, right? But the Bible continues, like, you don't even know what will happen. And I love the question, like, what is your life? What is it, right? And then it goes on to say, the question just positions a thought. And the Bible talks about how quick it is. You hear just a mist that appears for a little while, right? And then it vanishes. You're only here for a short amount of time. It comes and it goes. And look, if you've ever raised a child, you know how fast time can go by. Like, oh my gosh, I remember the day you were born, and now all of a sudden it's your sweet 16, you know, or whatever it may be. My wife and I just celebrated 16 years of marriage just last week, and we talked about it. Like, I can't believe that it just seems so fast, man. It's because time goes by, it vanishes. But instead, the Bible says, you ought to say, and here's what I want to point out, if it's the Lord's will, and here's what I want to say, because oftentimes I think we think about this in the context of how we should pray, and I think this scripture certainly speaks to that, absolutely. But I think it also speaks to the idea of my thoughts for myself and his will for me. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. There's sort of this haphazard, like I'll just take it as it comes, which to me shows a heart that just moves with the default. Like how, if I feel like it, I will. But really the question should be, God, what's your will for me? God, what do you want from me? But I wanna position myself to receive your plan for my life. And what does that look like? So God, would you speak? And I think this is the way that our prayer life should be. God, I wanna be in alignment with you. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about mastering the habit. I love to give application to what I discussed. So I want to give you four things that I think will help you to master the habit of keeping your life aligned with God's purpose for you. Number one, and this is big, I've got to decide what's important. I've got to decide. There's some choices that have to be made, and they have to be some intentional ones, and I'm going to have to think, okay, what is important in my life? What do I value? Because far too oftentimes, we live our lives verbally claiming a value, but physically living another. You've heard it said before, right, that no one is ever laying on their deathbed and saying, I wish I just had one more day at the office. Like, no one ever says that. And here's what I want to say. Like, I understand, by the way, that we all have real lives to live, okay? Like, I get it. I'm not saying, like, quit your job and pray all day. That's foolishness, because the Bible also says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, right? So I understand that there are things that press on us, and there are demands we have to meet, certainly. But there are also values that we get to set for ourselves. And maybe, I don't know, you're in a position where the job you currently have just demands too much and doesn't allow you to decide the value. It might be time for a new job. And I know that's kind of radical, but listen, if it's gonna pull you away from what's really important, you might need to make some changes. You might need to make some adjustments, right? There might be some other things that you really haven't set. You say they're important, but you haven't really set your mind to show the value of them and actually make them a value in your life and say, I'm going to live. My life's actually going to look like these things do matter. Does it make sense where I'm going? And I'm certainly not trying to get heavy on you, because I've been the guy that's had to quit jobs before because it didn't match the value of my life. It wasn't always easy, you know, when you have to decide, like, pay the bill or buy the groceries, right? And I know some of you guys are like, well, geez, Pastor, I'd do that with the job I got now. Like, I get that too. Like, I understand that stuff is important. But I'm talking about in your spiritual life, like, what really matters? What values in my life really, really matter? And what are the things that I need to make sure that reflect in my life? Philippians says this, and this is Paul speaking, and he's just such an awesome example of just a legit believer. But whatever were gains to me, I love it. Whatever things I considered valuable that were gains, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, he's like, I got more to say about this. I consider everything a loss because of the, and this is what I wanted to highlight really, the surpassing greatness. The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I think there's more, right? Yeah, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Will you go back with me one time, Rob? I want to point back to this surpassing greatness. And some of you in this room have had experiences where you've considered all these other things that used to be gains and they used to be important and they used to matter. And you said, you know what? I'm pushing that stuff to the side because, God, I want to align my life with your purpose. And I want to make sure that I give you first place and that you get the opportunity to speak into me. And what you've discovered is there's something better. It surpasses what you thought you could attain in the job or the toy or the new house or the promotion or whatever it might be, even sometimes to the fact of the sins that draw us away from God's heart. When you actually submitted yourself and said, God, I'll just align my life with your purpose, you found out that there's something that's far supersedes what you would have got in the end of that. And there are others of you that I'm begging you to try it and see what God will do to radically transform you from the inside out. There is a surpassing greatness when it comes to faithfully serving God. It's just radical, and it'll change your perspective, the way you think. It'll change your heart. It'll change who you are. The people around you will love you more and appreciate you more. I mean, I just, it's very simple. I like to say it like this. When we do things God's way, it works. It just works if you just do it God's way. Number two, if I want to keep my life aligned with my purpose, then, and this is a big one, I've got to give calendar time to important things. If I say it's a value, then the schedule of my life should reflect it. So in our home, and by the way, remember I preached to me when I preached to you? This is something that challenged me right out of the gate at the start of this year. So I have three kids, and we have a great family. I love my family. And what I started to recognize is that we had once upon a time had this family time together, and we would do it every single week. It's okay. That kid just wants out. It's no big deal. Just pray for him. It's all good. Moms and dads are scared now. Like, why does he want out? Like, it's okay. I promise. But we used to do this family time. It was on Mondays, and we would spend time together, and we would just have a little hangout or whatever. And we had just fallen out of habits, and the reason we fell out of that habit is because there was competition. There was this demand. And it pulls on my daughter's schedule, it pulls on my son's schedule, pulls on my wife's, pulls on mine, and then all of a sudden, like, things wouldn't always line up. So we just sort of set the tone at the start of the year and said, we're gonna create a new habit. Like, don't schedule stuff on Monday night, because that's our time. Like, we're gonna be together on Monday nights. Like, I understand that life happens and there might be some odd and end things that come along throughout the year where, you know, that's just not possible. But basically, Lauren and I talked about it and prayed about it and said, we value our family. And we want that to be a value, and our time, our calendar should reflect it. So you know what? Family time is family time, and we're gonna certainly be there, and we're gonna make it happen. Does that make sense? And there are some of you where you have a verbal value that doesn't show up on the calendar. And I just want to encourage you to think about your life and think about the schedule of your life and think about the fact that if I really truly value it, well, why isn't it on my timeline? If your relationship with God matters, why are you not spending time with him? And I think that speaks to all of us. Amen. All of us. Because again, the competition, the demands, I've got to go. I didn't mean to oversleep, but I'm tired. Okay. Well, then rearrange the day and find the time, because he's a value. Amen. I don't want to lose you. But give calendar time to important things. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Just love the verse and love, again, the language of the verse. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. To understand that it's limited and to recognize how few they are, and then help us to spend them, and I like this word, as we should. There are some things, Christian, that you should be doing. Amen. And we've been talking about it all month. There are some things that we should be doing. And even though God's a God of grace and God's a God of love, and even though I can't earn my salvation, and I cannot earn my right standing before him, that's what Jesus did for me, I do have part in the relationship. And in order for that relationship to be healthy, there are things I should do. And I have to understand that, hey, I only have a certain amount of time to get it done in. Amen. So my calendar should reflect the value. Give you a couple things right here. Write these down with me. I want to encourage you to make time for renewal. Make time for renewal. What I mean that by that is some. I want to encourage you to rest a little. Like, take a nap, man. Put your feet up every once in a while. Say no to the invitation. Some of you would set you free if you just learned how to say no. Respectfully, I just can't do it. I need to say no. And I want to encourage you to make time for renewal. I've been in my personal Bible reading. I've been kind of digging around the book of Hebrews, and I was in Hebrews chapter 4 just yesterday reading, and I actually saw where it was talking about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, and it encouraged us believers, man, don't live like the old people used to when they worked every single day like slaves. And the Bible even used like language like sin if you're not making the time for it. And it challenged me because my wife says, I don't even know how to rest when I'm off. And it just made me think like, okay, I've got to figure out how to be better at making time for renewal. Listen, if God can rest a day, come on now. And I'll say it this way, you and I will get more done in 6 days with God's help than 7 days in our own effort. So our calendar should reflect, make time for renewal. Number two, I don't want to get out of order. Yeah, and I love it. Make time for relationships. Make time for those. Like, what relationships matter? What value, which ones really matter? And I'll just go ahead, I'm going to plug it, okay? Maybe you're expecting it, but on February 4th, our small group semester is going to launch. We have several new groups launching. We've got more and more people going through small group training. And by the way, can I just applaud you, Church on the Rock, really and truly, because I felt vulnerable last week and challenged some of you to respond to what the Holy Spirit had already been saying in your heart about small groups. And the response was amazing, by the way. Thank you for just responding to God. I hope, and I'll say it this way, if you responded to me out of guilt, then call and cancel your group. Let us know. But if you responded to the Holy Spirit and what he had already been leading you to do, follow through. God's going to change lives because of the relationships you're going to gain. And I just want to encourage you you got to make time for those relationships. My wife is the most important person in my world. Sorry, Carter. I love you, dude. But she matters more than anybody else. And I'm going to make time for her. That relationship is valuable. I'm going to make the time for it. Now, my kids, they also matter. And I'm going to make time for those relationships. You understand what I'm saying? If God matters to you, that's a relationship we need to make time for. And I just believe that the body of Christ was designed for us to live relationally relationally. We got to make time for relationships. And then the last one I want to encourage you is to make time for rewards. And I use the word rewards because it started with an R. I did. I don't know if you noticed that, but this is something I love here. This is called homiletics, and I'm in love with it. So rewards. Here, let me explain it. I want to explain it. When I say rewards, I don't mean buy that toy that you know that you've been looking at online or whatever, that new fishing rod. That's not what I mean by rewards. The Bible says that when we serve God, that he rewards our lives. And I want to encourage you to make time for it. Let me put it into this context. The Bible says, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, because dust and moths and rust, it'll destroy those things. Rather, the Bible says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And there are ways that we can do that. And I'm going to give you some examples. I walked around this morning and I counted, and I'm pretty sure I got it pretty accurately. There were 27 people here between 7:30 a.m. and 8 a.m. getting ready for you. 27. Praise team members or production team members. There were setup and teardown team members. There were people getting coffee ready for you. There were people making sure the kids' rooms were appropriate and ready and everything was on and ready to roll. And I just got to say, and I'll rabbit trail here for a second, that this is like a dream come true. Like you would not even imagine for me to see that many people show up here early on a Sunday morning making some time for things that God can reward and saying, I'm gonna serve the body of Christ, I'm gonna serve my church. And they get here, and here's what I love about it, they're happy. Like, no, I've never seen anybody come in here early kicking rocks. Oh, man, blah, blah, blah. Like, if your service in the church is a duty, we gotta find another spot for you. I want it to be something that wells up from within you. And I want our dream team, our volunteers, we call them our dream team, I want them to say, I get to serve. I get to do. I don't have to do this. I get to. And when I see those smiling faces and people in here serving, and I'm only talking about those that are serving in a small window of time. I mean, that doesn't include the dream teamers throughout the week that we never see doing heroic things like vacuuming floors and changing trash can liners and all the things. I mean, just the amazing things that they do. I get to get around people that make time for the rewards that God wants to give them. And there's nothing more rewarding. Nothing more rewarding than to know that people's lives are changing as a result of what you're doing. I huddled with our praise team and production team this morning right here. We just huddled around here, and we said, hey, what's some wins, man? What are some good things going on in your life? Let's celebrate together. And people, man, this is going on, and this is going on, that's going on. And together as a team, we got to celebrate the lives that are being changed because of the service that's being given. I'm telling you, it's rewarding. It not only feels good, but there's treasures in heaven that God's saying, man, I can't wait for them to see this. Oh, they're going to love this. I think he's like that parent that's got all the good Christmas goodies for you. You know what I'm saying? Because he loves you and says, oh, I can't wait to bless them because they're in line with my purpose, and I love it. Oh, I want to reward their service to the body of Christ. Amen. We're going to move on for time. Number three, I'll give you these couple as we close down, and I'll do it quickly. But I want to encourage you to eliminate the non-essentials. Get rid of the things that don't matter. And if you're like me, there's plenty. There's plenty. There's just stuff. It's like, man, I just need to get rid of some stuff. This doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Get rid of the non-essentials. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us just throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And if I'm going to do some reflecting, if I'm going to look at values, I've got to determine what things don't matter. Because if my family matters, what things don't matter that I could just rearrange in the schedule? How can I reprioritize that my calendar would reflect the values? So what things can I dump? What things can I get rid of? What kind of things can I push off my plate or get off my schedule? Or what sin? What sin is living in my life that I need to find freedom from, and I need to believe God to set me free of, and I need to fight from the inside that, I'm going to be victorious in Jesus' name because I fight from your power, not my own strength. We're the only army ever in history that fights from victory, not for it. The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have victory in his name. And I know that some of us have things in our lives that we are longing for to just be set free from. And I just want to tell you, you're victorious today. You are the winner. So declare that faithfully and find those scriptures and tell the devil, man, say that stuff out loud to his face. This is God's word and it's true. It's a sharp sword and it's the only offensive weapon I got, and I'm gonna fight you with it. Say it and proclaim it and use it and declare it. Amen. So our victory is found. It's in Jesus. It's in God's word. Number four, as we close, I want to encourage you to regularly take inventory. Reevaluate, reevaluate, reevaluate. I personally love learning. You'd have never known that when I was a kid. Never. I was a frustrating little human being, I promise you. My poor mom. it's so true. It's so true. And back when I was in school, I didn't particularly like school that much. I wasn't a very good student. I just needed a GPA high enough to play sports. Come on, right? Like, the standard was low. It was a 2.0, and I would barely make that curve. And I just wasn't a very good student, and there were things academically that I had limitations on. You know, even if I'd have put my best effort out there, I wouldn't have been your A honor roll guy. But as I've become an adult, what I've discovered is that I love learning. I love to learn. I want to be better. Like, I pray in Jesus' name, I'm better today than I was yesterday. And man, if I don't wake up tomorrow and become better than I am today, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And it's just an internal, I don't even have to wake that thing up. It just drives. That drum just pounds consistently in my spirit. And here's one of the things I've learned that helps me to learn, helps me to grow. And my words for myself are to be better, is that I have to constantly reevaluate. I have to measure everything. I have to measure it. I have to measure certain things and decide. I'm a beta tester, so I might run some things for a while. I'm gonna try a quiet time at 6 a.m. for 30 minutes. I'm just gonna see if I'm gonna do that for 2 weeks and see what happens. You know, and then I might find, all right, well, I'm dozing off every 5 seconds, so maybe I'll go in the evening, I don't know, but I got to take the inventory. I got to constantly check it. I've got to measure the health of the relationships that matter in my life. Like, how's my relationship with God? I got to inventory that. How's my relationship with my wife or with my children, not only as a whole, but individually? Like, what does that look like? And then what adjustments do I need to make? Because if the inventory is pointing to a problem, I got to change it. Amen. And this is a way, I think, for us to perpetually improve, constantly just get better, just get better, get better. God, I want to be like you. Father, I want to be in line with your purpose. God, I want to be more influential in your kingdom. I've got to take the inventory. We'll close here. In Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5, love this, love this, love this. Lord, remind me. I love the language. Just remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand, right? My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. And I think when we can keep it in that kind of perspective, Father, remind me what matters. Remind me what my calendar should look like. Remind me to dump the non-essentials. Remind me to make time for relationships. Remind me, God, to keep my life in alignment with you. God, I want to live my life in perfect alignment to what you're calling me to do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.